edition of the By The Min MFC podcast. Tonight, Peter Elder joins regulars Jay and Buster. Welcome, Peter. How's things?
Very well, Andy. How's yourself, guys?
I'm getting there.
I said I'm very good. I went to work though with odd shoes on today, so it didn't start well, but it got better.
And yourself, Jay, since everyone's given a wee review of how they're getting on?
Aye, not bad. I had an hour at uni the day, if anybody's interested. That was about it.
Smashing.
And I've got broken ribs, so there'll be no laughing, no coughing or anything else throughout the duration of this. Bit better on Saturday, a 1-1 draw against St Johnston. Jay, by all accounts, very much a game of two halves, an abysmal first half followed by a very spirited performance that left the punters going home with a bit of enthusiasm going into what is a 2-week break before a massive game against Ross County.
Yeah, I think that's it. It was your cliched game of two halves. First half, to be honest, I think for the first time I've tried not to be critical. In fact, I've defended Barraclough a lot because I think it is too early to judge him. I do think he got it wrong from the start on Saturday. For long periods, you were kind of looking at the lineup and just there was no creativity. There was nobody on the park. There was nobody giving a nod who was ever going to create anything. And at half-time, I remember saying to those around us that I would be genuinely surprised if we registered a shot the whole game, which that just sums up how bad it was. But you're right, second half, we kind of looked a bit more interested. Kind of got shuffled around a wee bit. Straker went for left midfield where he'd been completely sort of wasted there, or just wasn't in the game at all. He got put a left back. He looked a wee bit more comfortable there. Moore and Thomas both came on and had really a really good effect in the game. A lot more enthusiasm injected into the performance. So yeah, it was a game of two halves, but I think that's partly down to Barraclough getting his tactics wrong to start with.
Buster, another poor goal to lose, and it's been an Achilles heel a lot of the season. We need to stop giving teams a head start, and we gifted them a goal on Saturday, didn't we?
We did. When I watched it watched it back in the highlights, there was a big 10 bob header. I don't even know who it was, to be honest with you. I think it might have been the new boy, but I couldn't tell you what one it was, to be honest with you. Headered it straight up in the air, out of nowhere, just right up in the middle of the kick, dropped down, and then nobody even bothered to pick up Murray Davidson when he started his run. By the time, again, the same centre-half was chasing him, he'd already kicked it into the goals. It was an awful goal to lose, to be fair.
Peter, a positive. I'm going to talk about new signings in just a second, so I'll wait to discuss Lewis Lang's red card in his debut. A positive, certainly for me, would be that given a bit of service, John Sutton scored a fantastic equaliser. Dom Thomas stormed through the middle, laid him on, and he put it away absolutely brilliantly. We need Sutton to start finding the net more often and contributing more than he has been in recent weeks.
Absolutely, Andy. I mean, I think Sutton thrives on service, and whatever people's opinions of the big man are, there's no question this season he's just not had the service. I know sometimes when he drops deep to pick up the ball, he can look slow and cumbersome and not retain possession or hold it up for us when we've needed it, when we've been under pressure, as we have been in most games we've played, to be quite honest. But you give him a chance in front of goal, He'll get a strike away or a heading away, and more often than not, it's on target. I mean, obviously, you mentioned wee Dom. I mean, that's some of the skills that boy's shown and the confidence. You know, the fact that he's a wee boy, effectively, and he's just give me the ball, I'll beat all them, and I'll set it up for somebody. You know, the last time we've seen someone break through with that level of ability, confidence, and dare I say arrogance from Motherwell was a certain James McFadden, and I'm not wanting to put too much pressure on wee Dom, but there's that kind of feel that he's going to be that type of player. And I think you mentioned obviously him and Murray coming on in the second half, it definitely gave us a spark. And I think obviously I alluded to a lot of the signings that have been made by Ian Barraclough, and this certainly seems to be going down the road of bringing in young guys with plenty of pace and plenty of energy, which, you know, for most of the season has been sadly lacking. So if they all gel, hopefully towards the end through the rest of the season, we'll at least start playing some, you know, faster, more direct and exciting and incisive football rather than what we've unfortunately seen for the majority of this campaign.
Jay, what about Thomas's reaction when the goal went in, you could brilliant to see a young player how much it meant to him. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, his mentality since in every performance he's played has been spot on. I mean, as Pierre says, he's got that gallusness that McFadden had, but you also get the impression that he genuinely cares about, you know, getting the results and things like that, which is obviously can't be said for certain other players. So yeah, his reaction was fantastic, and you can kind of tell, I don't think it was just an individual thing, I don't think he was just delighted that his great work had set up something. I think it's more of a team thing, which is obviously in stark contrast to, you know, the likes of Ainsworth and guys like that who haven't looked interested. So it is great to see that mentality and that reaction, and hopefully that can sort of become a bit contagious with some of the other players.
Yeah, well, there'll be certainly a lot of new faces about in the squad. No fewer than 7 arrivals during the transfer window. Yesterday, a deadline day like has never been seen before at Motherwell. Plenty of activity right up to the very last minute. Last Friday, Anthony Straker and Lewis Laing arrived. Straker on arriving from York City, whereas Laing, he comes on loan from Nottingham Forest. Peter, it was a disappointing start for him, wasn't it? A cameo appearance, shall we say, before he's sending off for a last man challenge.
Well, I mean, essentially, he's had an introduction to Scottish football, you know, to show him how Scottish football actually works and how it exists. You know, he came in and played his part in a dreadful game and then saw a red card for Willie Collins. So he's really getting the full experience of Scottish football, you know, inside 25 minutes. I mean, we've chopped and changed the defence quite a lot this season. So I suppose him playing with another fellow loanee, Mark O'Brien, it was, you know, it's tricky, especially coming in, as you say, just the day before the game. The same way with Strachan as well, but I thought when he went to left back it looked very, very composed, but then again, I suppose we weren't getting much ball in the first half when he was further forward, so we don't know what he can do, you know, as an attacking threat. But I suppose when players come in, you know, as I say, 24, 48 hours before a game, they've maybe had one session, it's very difficult to judge. So interesting to see how Laing goes. I notice you're finding it difficult to kind of separate him from Lewis Laing. I'm sure they're not the same person. Hopefully the new guys coming in, well, two full weeks training, you know, we'll see however many start or are on the bench in Dingwall. We'll hopefully we'll settled in and gelled with the existing squad.
Yeah, there was more joined yesterday. George Long coming in on loan from Sheffield United. Conor Grant on loan from Everton. Then as time ticked on, suddenly we were announcing last minute signings. Marvin Johnson coming in from Kidderminster. And then Nathan Thomas, after a release from Plymouth, he's joined as well. Buster, an astonishing bit of business in terms of Marvin Johnson. We actually spent money on a player.
I was as shocked as everybody else, it seemed, you know, Twitter, Facebook, everybody who we obviously know supports Mullo was just talking about the fact that we'd spent money. I think, to be honest with you, the amount of signings, you know, whether it be on loan or like the other Thomas who are coming in, you know, it was pretty obvious that we were spending probably way over our budget, depending on what we're actually, you know, contributing to these guys' wages. But It took me back to when I watched Les Hutchison talk about his, you know, coming in and things like that. I think he made it quite clear in his interview that he was going to have to spend to keep us in the division. I think, you know, his plans obviously involve remaining in this division. So I don't think it's any surprise that he's, well, it's a bit of a surprise, sorry, but I don't think it's, you know, too far out there that he's going to have to put a bit of money in his pocket to pay some wages.
Jay, we've talked about this before, but the kind of the attitude of the squad was very much lacking in the first half of the season. The new manager's come in, he's tried to make a mark on the team, albeit results haven't really improved a great deal. So it's good to see that the board have given him some backing on the transfer market and 7 new faces. You kind of say that it's not his team now, I suppose. There's still maybe a few there he won't want to be there. There's maybe a few that he's missed out on. But he's certainly been able to make a mark.
Well, it's definitely Barra Clough's team. In regards to, you know, a few still being there he wants rid of or missing out on a few, unfortunately that's just the way football works. There's no doubt managers who have that sort of problem all over the country. But he's got his team now, he's got some new signings. I think we can all see that he's doing, I suppose he's doing what we kind of want him to do, what we've sort of been crying out for. We've sort of talked at length about the likes of Ainsworth and Vigers and their effort. I think the fact that he was trying to punt Vigers to Oldham during the window, and the fact that we've been signing lots of wingers, I imagine they'll be replacing Ainsworth rather than the likes of Dom Thomas. So I would be surprised, I wouldn't be surprised if I didn't see Ainsworth again that season. So it looks as though he is keeping out the players that he doesn't want to play for them. He said when he first joined the club that, you know, if you want to be creative or you want to try something, then that's fine, nobody's going to moan at you as long as you work hard. So instantly the likes of Ainsworth and Vigers, you know, their card was marked. So he's definitely stamping his authority on the team now. I think from the last few performances, particularly in Tannadice, I was of the opinion that he was already starting to do that with the current players. Perhaps one or two, obviously, as we've mentioned, not buying into it. But I think with a combination of, you know, the enthusiasm of Moore and Thomas and Irwin, you know, hopefully getting some of the other players' minds back on track, and also, you know, these young players coming in, obviously wanting to prove something, then I think we're in a really, really good position now to move forward. Obviously, you still need a bit of luck. You still need the team to gel. You still need the new signings to settle. But I think, you know, I think this is potentially the most optimistic we've been since, you know, the night before the first leg of the Stirling European game. I think that this is probably the most optimistic I've certainly felt.
Peter, it's never a good thing being out of either cup early on, but I suppose it could be beneficial though to not have a game this weekend and let these new guys get familiar with their surroundings and bed into to what's there in the squad, and I suppose more particularly the guys that are fit, because we've had so many problems with injuries through the season as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, as you say, it's not good being out of the cup, but I think obviously, given we've so many players to try and integrate into the squad, if we had a cup tie this week, depending who it was against, and we had a lot of these guys playing and we lost, knowing some of our fans, they probably would have judged the players completely already and they'd all be useless and Barra Clough should get sacked already. So giving them the 2 weeks, not having the distraction, if you like, of the cup, we can put a focus on getting them gelled, getting them knowing how Ian Barclough wants the team to play, which seems to be more of a kind of pacey, energised type of kind of way. The same way, I suppose, that we tried to play at the start when Jim Gannon came in and brought in a lot of the younger players. Obviously, that didn't work out so well because obviously Gannon was, shall we say, a bit of a character, according to everybody that worked at the club at the time. But the way that he brought through the youngsters and he gave them the lead to go and, you know, express themselves, you know, put their mark on the game and be their own player, but work well as a team. And the more players you have, as you say, who'll buy in to what Ian Barra Clough wants to do, then the more chances he has succeeding that way, because as you say, maybe some of the players are maybe not so keen, maybe some of them, I don't know, I'm just speculating here, perhaps maybe had it too easy before, and maybe not so keen to change their ways and do things that they haven't maybe done before. And let's be honest, you know, the club's bigger than any one player, so regardless of who the players are who maybe aren't so keen to buy into what Ian Barra Clough wants to do, then, you know, we're all about Motherwell Football Club being successful and moving forward, and anyone who's not, you know, wanting to do that or be part of it, then, you know, thanks but cheerio as far as I'm concerned.
Just one major departure to speak of, and that's Henrik Ayama. His loan deal expired and he's moved to Norway. He's not going to play with the national team, he's going to play with a team in Norway, which sounds kind of like Spar or something, isn't it?
Sparsborg or something. To be honest with you, I'd never heard of him. When I seen he'd moved to them, I looked them up. The last couple of years, they seem to be a bit of a yo-yo club, but they're in the top division, and, you know, they're obviously offering a bit of a challenge, a bit of change in scenery and that for them, so fair play to them.
Yeah, Buster, it's been a bit of a hit and miss. Ayama's, shall we call it, his third spell, really. His loan spell turned into a permanent move, and then he's left and then come back and loan. He at times showed flashes of the player that he was. and made him so popular at Fir Park, but other times, perhaps it was playing in a poorer side, couldn't quite hit the height?
Well, I remember probably one of the first couple we've done. These we were talking about how Oyama was our only decent player. I still had the opinion that he was a right good player. I think maybe the last 4 or 5 weeks he dropped off a bit, and that's why when it came to him leaving, people were a bit, I'm not really too bothered with him. But as I say, I think he was basically the best player on that team. You don't really see anybody else in the team getting touted, you know, for moves anywhere, never mind Norwegian teams you've never heard of. So I think we could miss him, but I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, these players that we've brought in. I think that at least 2 of them are apparently speed merchants. So in a league like the Scottish setup, the fact that you've got pace, I think, gets you halfway there. You know, whereas obviously in other more technical leagues, you maybe need a bit more than that. But guys like maybe Humphrey, even Ainsworth, have proved that with a bit of pace, you know, if you can kick the ball in a straight line, you'll do well.
Maybe another factor in that, Jay, would have been Ayama's wages, by all accounts paid by a director. Maybe the money better spent elsewhere if it allowed us to bring in maybe player 6 and player 7 of the during the window rather than just having the one there.
Very possibly. I think I do agree with Buster. I think that he was one of our better players this season. I don't think he's looked out of sorts because you know he's not been hitting the heights. I think it is because he's the kind of player, he can create things and he can score goals, but I think a lot of his game revolves around his teammates sort of being in a similar level, knowing where to be, and I think you saw that with the likes of Nicky Law and Michael Higden, particularly around him. I think Higden and Ojama are fantastic together, and I think that when you've got different players around him, or players who just aren't, you know, putting as much effort in as Ojama did, then I think that's when he starts to sort of stick out and things don't come off for him. So, you know, I guess it all depends. I mean, Barraclough may have even felt that he wasn't going to fit into the system he wants to play or something along those lines. It might even just be Ojama was fed up staying in the Popinjay where he seems to have been for ages. But I think that he's probably, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the setup was with his wages. I don't know what's happening with the players at the moment. Has Les Hutchison, you know, put his hand in his pocket? It's all sort of speculation, but as I said, I'm quite optimistic. I think with the good feeling and the positivity about the players we've brought in, I think that far outweighs any negativity about Ojama leaving. So hopefully that will come to fruition on the part.
Yeah, so the other big issue, apart from whether it's Lewis Ling or Lois Ling, is the conclusion of the Les Hutchison deal finally all signed off on Friday. It's been heralded as a new dawn for the football club, and he's certainly started in impressive fashion with backing the manager as he did towards the end of the transfer window. Peter, you might have a wee bit more of an insight in this than we do. Was the vibe around the club and the mood behind the scenes at the club on Saturday pretty one of optimism and looking forward?
Yeah, and I think relief as well would be a fair word to use, because obviously until everything is signed and sealed, you know, there's always a bit of apprehension. But I think obviously once the process started, then there was the 30 days, I think, of due diligence, then, you know, I think everyone was happy it was going to proceed. But I think relief and kind of optimism as well, certainly, because obviously the Welsh society, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it's a great idea, but perhaps for a club like us just to do that purely on its own is tricky, just because of the economic circumstances in the area. Not everyone can perhaps, you know, well, for some it might be join the Welsh Society or get a season ticket, do that, or have a family holiday. And it's not, you know, some people in some areas of the country can do all of those, but not in Warwickshire, to be honest. And I think having someone with his business acumen and the financial backing, obviously, has made the Welsh Society dream, you know, a little bit more achievable over the next few years. So I think, obviously, the Welsh side continue on with where they want to be and the ultimately being in control of the club and having fan ownership. But obviously, you have, if you like, the kind of strong hand at the tiller and that kind of, you know, that obviously lets Hutchinson to fall back on if there is any issues in that time. But, I mean, I think going this way is certainly far preferable to go down the route that obviously some clubs have with a foreign consortium or an owner who you don't know anything about their background and what their plans would be and that they don't have an interest in the club. And obviously, Les Hutchinson is from the area. You know, he's wanting to do something for the club and for the community. So there's not going to be an issue of him disappearing 2 years' time and taking everything, you know, with him. He's got three, I think, people who he has wanted appointed to the board. So there will be constant dialogue and things being done properly alongside guys like Derek Weir and Brian McCafferty, obviously from the Welsh Society, who I know all these guys have got the club at heart and, you know, make sound, sensible decisions. So, I mean, things seem to be pointing in the right direction. There was a lot of uncertainty. I think, obviously, that certainty now, as you say, with Hutchinson backing the manager in the transfer window, the rest of the season is just really about making sure that we can be in the Premier League next year, hopefully see some decent football between now and May, and maybe see another couple of lads that we can hope to keep on board for a few years so that we can approach next season, wipe the slate clean. Some players will obviously leave, others will come in, and we can look forward to the real commencement of the Ian Barraclough era.
Jay, another thing for me would be, I had said I would and did re-establish my Welsh Society membership just on the £10 a month direct debit situation. I actually messaged them earlier on, given that I've had no kind of confirmation of what was going on there. This is what we said are referred to as a second chance for the Welsh Society in some aspects, given the, and Brian said it himself on the podcast, that things haven't perhaps run as smoothly as they hoped, and they didn't. Communication was one of the big things they pointed out. They've got to start getting this right quickly now, given that these are the people who seem to be in control of the club.
Definitely. You know, we've not went out our way to be critical of the Welsh Society, but whenever we've spoke about it, it's been hard not to be. But yeah, you're right. We said after the, you know, the sort of the announcement that this was going to happen, we had Brian McCafferty on the podcast, we did agree that this was perhaps a second chance. I'm going to start paying my annual fee again, which I haven't done since I joined a couple of years ago. So yeah, it's now the ball is well and firmly in the Welsh Society's court now. It's up to them. There remains to be seen how they go about it, but there really does need to be a push now. Up until now, there's been that kind of assumption that, you know, if you build it, they will come. If you have the Welsh Society, Motherwell fans will undoubtedly queue up to join. That's not happening. You know, you can say what you want about, you know, diehards and people who love their club. Money's tight. If people are going to put their hand in their pocket, they're going to want benefits. You know, benefits don't need to be in the guise of football strips and DVDs. It can be things that won't cost the club anything, such as useless hospitality facilities or boxes, that kind of thing. So there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity there to make it appear that it's worth joining the Welsh Society, rather than just assuming between now and in a 5 year time that's going to happen. But there needs to be that action, and if they do it right, then hopefully, if the podcast is still going by then, we'll be talking about how it's been a great success. But if they don't put the effort in, or they don't do it properly, then, you know, it's hard to see where we're going to be in 5 years' time, whether Les Hutchinson decides to pull the plug, and then we're back to square one.
I think, to be fair as well, I know maybe there should be an automatic response to yourself, Sparra, obviously signing up and things like that. But this has obviously been probably the busiest time for them. They've, you know, with all this being finalised, I believe Brian's now the club chairman as well, I think. So, you know, I'm sure that in the next couple of weeks when things start to settle down a bit for them, I say settle, well, they'll probably get even more hectic, but I'm sure they'll put something in place where they will then start to obviously look at, you know, driving, bringing people in. You know, I mentioned businesses and things like that when he was obviously on with us. So I'm sure there'll be some sort of recruitment drive, you know, run about the next couple weeks, maybe in the next 2 months or something.
Yeah, you've got to hope that it's admin. They need someone kind of in charge of it all and providing administration, so it's all running smoothly. To be honest, it would make absolutely no difference to me if I receive a membership card or not. And certainly not at the rate that I'm paying it anyway. But just kind of a little bit of acknowledgement doesn't go amiss. And if I'm getting that kind of reaction, I really hope that the people that are putting more money in on a more frequent basis are getting replies. But if they're not, then people will quickly turn their backs on it. So it's important to get that right. But as I say, they've got this far. Hopefully it's time to take the second chance, and hopefully we'll maybe get someone from the society on again to kind of update us on where things are at. Now they'll be able to speak a wee bit more freely on it.
That'd be a good idea, obviously, to get them, get them in and have a word again. Again, maybe Brian will be too busy in his new role, but it'd be good to obviously see that. And just come back to, obviously, Les Hutchison as well. You know, I don't know if you've watched his interview on the Motherwell YouTube channel, but I was kind of impressed by, you know, he's obviously well used to it, speaking to people and things like that. I was impressed with him, at least anyway. And again, I think it's blatantly obvious that he's putting his hand in his pocket at the moment. We heard it after him this morning, that he's willing to blow a wad of cash just to try and keep us in the division. So, you know, if any of that's true, fair play to him. But it's going to be fun as long as we start to pick up the points in the park.
Well, I think it's also, you know, regardless of what your opinions are in the Welsh society and, you know, how optimistic you are about it, I think at least it's especially after the season we've had up until now, at least it's like a buoyant time to be a Motherwell fan. It's a positive and encouraging time. You know, you've got Barraclough basically shifting aside the poor drab legacy that was left by Stuart McCall. Obviously McCall did a great job, but what he left behind was pretty poor. So hopefully we're getting past that, and we're now sort of seeing a new dawn, if you like, on the park. And then off the park, we're kind of, you know, with Les Hutchison coming in and this sort of, you know, clean slate for the Welsh society, we're hopefully getting away from the terrible legacy that Leanne Dempster left. So I think we've kind of got this sort of new crack at the whip, both on and off the park. And if we do it right, then hopefully we'll have a lot to cheer about.
I think one thing I find about Motherwell fans, and you know, looking at how the future of the club, you know, negativity isn't the greatest, the greatest fear. It's apathy, and sometimes, you know, there can be a certain apathy if things aren't going very well, and people can start to feel down and detached from it. But there are enough people, you know, working at the club and supporting the club who've still got that passion. And you mentioned also Brian McCafferty. I know another guy with the Welsh Society, Alan Todd. You know, I mean, he's Motherwell daft, and he'll literally do anything to help out the club at events or anything. Even obviously we know the man at the top of the tree, Flo, as well. I mean, he was a kind of day out drinking dafty like ourselves many, many moons ago, so we know that he bleeds claret and amber. And I think it's getting these people in the heart of the club, sending out the messages to those that are maybe a little bit more kind of laid back and maybe apathetic, to kind of stoke up the passion, because it's never really far from the surface. Even the Motherwell fans that sit in these stand and moan like hell for 90 minutes, you know, a bit, if they're moaning, at least it shows that they care, and it's getting these people on board. But, you know, because we can be quite a fearsome support when we get going. You know, well, boys maybe been a little quieter this year, maybe need to ramp it up a bit, but when they get going, they get the whole ground going, and that East End can be quite intimidating for opposition players. And I think if we can harness that, as Jay mentioned, with the kind of increased optimism and positivity, then we can, the Welsh society can succeed. We'll still be a Premier League club, and we'll have a lot of good players to look forward to entertaining us and at the right end of the table next season. But it's just getting that spark and getting people back, kind of feeling, as you say, positive and energised about going to watch Motherwell and supporting Motherwell.
No game to preview, so I think that's possibly an ideal time for us to wrap it up for this week. Peter, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure, thanks for having me.
Jay Buster back next week, ahead of possibly our biggest game of the season, Ross County away.
Hi, hopefully your ribs are feeling alright by then.
Yeah, I'm going to go and have another lie down, because I'm struggling to breathe, to be perfectly honest with you. But
We've also said every week, you know, this is our biggest game of the season this year. So it's nice to have another one to look forward to.
I just love big games. Big game players. You've been listening to the By The Min MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thanks very much and goodbye.